Welcome to episode 3 of the Schaefer Creative Podcast. I'm Todd Schaefer. In this episode, we're introducing a new segment called Conversations with Creatives. My first guest is a character animator and director who I've worked with for the past 17 years. His name is Alain Séguin. We know him as Al. Al and I began our conversation at the Van Hook Coffee Shop on St. Paul Street in Old Montreal. I want to know how you got started in art. So sort of your origin story into the art world as a kid, what influenced you, and then where you went to school.
Growing up, I always had my brother, who was 3 years older than me. He was drawing everything he could do, right? Like from Ren and Stimpy to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And so I was just following my big brother, right? My mom and dad are pretty good artists. My dad is an English teacher, but when he draws something, it actually makes a lot of sense, right? And my mom is a watercolor artist. She does not want to show her art, but it's really, really good.
So, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I felt compelled, I guess, to get into it.
When did you decide you wanted to go to art school?
Yeah, that was basically, I've had the choice between psychology, English writing, and animation. And then I got this bug to get into animation because it was the mid-90s, right? Mid-90s was the boom for, you had, Lion King, Aladdin. So I just jumped into animation because I'd just seen Aladdin. And
you were telling me there's a scene in Aladdin.
Yeah, scene in Aladdin is when Jafar turns into that genie. And he thinks he can manipulate all the worlds and create solar systems. And I'm just sitting there, my mouth just fell open and said, wow, you can create anything in animation. You can do anything you want. And who's going to stop you? It's paper and a pencil, and you could do whatever you want. And so it kind of convinced me, you know, forget the other things. I'm going to go into this, and I know how to draw. So it should be fun to draw for a living.
What a picture. If you needed a logo for you,
yeah,
that would be it.
What do you mean?
You're the genie. Because you animate so well and so fast, it's like it flows out of you so naturally.
Yeah, it seems. I think that was a part of a discipline of being in commercials too, is the speed. I don't think you ever knew this, but we were working together on a job for something called Bimbo Bread, and
the stop motion one, or was
no, it was just traditionally animated.
Okay.
And I was given the concept for a commercial, and then they said, Al, wait maybe 3 days, then we're going to know exactly what the concept, if this is a lockdown concept or not. So I had 3 days off, and I said to myself, what if I animated the whole thing in preparation? So I sat down, and I animated the entire 30-second commercial in 3 days.
Are you serious?
And waited and crossed my fingers that it was good to go for that concept. Unfortunately, they didn't take that concept.
Oh, my
gosh. This is a big waste of paper.
We got to find that and put that on the web.
I don't know where it is. You could ask Phil or something.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, it was funny. It was, like, totally ready, good to go.
That's incredible. All of it. 3 days, 30-second commercial. In
three days. It was rough, mind you.
Yeah, but still, that's insane.
Yeah, I used to say, because I coached Guillaume a lot on animation in his early days, and I said, because he would take a page, right, and then he would start drawing his rough, and he would draw the construction, and then he'd finagle the fingers, and then so on and so forth. By the end of his first rough drawing, he was maybe a minute, 2 minutes in. And I said, no, if you've got your page on, if you haven't done your drawing by the end of 30 seconds, I force you to take that page and throw it out. You're not following a flow.
That's right.
Right? And he was like, that's crazy, 30 seconds. I said, don't do fingers, don't do the details, just feel the flow, ride the wave.
That's right.
And ever since, he's remembered that. And he says, you just got to keep going. You got to keep going. Reach for the next page, draw it. That's the discipline I had to do to be fast enough. And I didn't really need to be fast enough, because you could have gotten another animator. But for, I'd say, 10 years, I was doing all the commercials, the full commercial. So I kind of put it on myself to just finish the whole thing.
The slower you animate, the less control you have.
Yeah.
because you don't know where you're going. You forgot where you're going by the time you get there.
Yes.
You got to be in the mood and get that spontaneity, you have to fly through it.
I don't know how to teach that more than saying ride that wave and go fast.
Exactly. That's why my drawings look awful. They're all scribbles.
That doesn't matter. Yeah. Some of the best animators have the worst rough.
Yeah.
Right? Or the most crazy looking rough.
Exactly.
Like Lockerbie, Glenn Keane, me, we just bolt through it. Yeah. And so we find that movement more than anything else. Yeah.
And that's when it gets exciting, because it looks like garbage. You don't want anybody to come over and
know what you're
doing.
Yeah.
But as soon as you put it in movement, oh my goodness, then it's like, that's the magic.
Yeah. And I think the same goes for, I'm not a published author or anything, but I do write a lot. And I think the same goes for writing. I think if you take your time to make the prose just perfect and you're writing your rough, then you're making a huge mistake. You got to move, right?
Yeah.
And I know, I can't remember which author it is, but I know there's one author that wrote every sentence had to be perfect before we move on to the next one. And then somebody asked him once, how do you like writing? And he said, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And he was a really good published author, but he considered it a nightmare to write that way, but he couldn't
painful.
Help it. Yeah. So imagine doing that with animation. Every frame had to be perfect before you move on to the next one.
No,
that'd be crazy.
I mean, I learned it in figure drawing, and I can't remember what teacher. I recognized he was using the side of his pencil.
Yes.
With no detail. So if you're drawing with your point.
Yes.
Your tendency is to go into the little details, put the little hairs and fingernails and all that. No. You just do a swipe, and that's good enough. You know where it is. You know what the intention is. You come back to it.
That's it.
Just need to get rid of all the detail and just block out the main principal action, and that's where it gets exciting.
Yeah, in fact, it was before you came around, I was drawing with the point of my pencil. It sounds like semantics, but it's not.
Yeah.
Because then you taught that life drawing class just one noon there when we had life drawing come into the studio. And you said, draw with the side of your pencil, just fluid motion, you don't even feel the grain of the paper, you just slide on that paper, and you get your lines, you get the curves, and ever since that, I've been a better animator, I've been a faster animator. I don't know how this applies to 3D, that's something that's, because
nothing applies to 3D.
It's marionettes, right, at that point, so it's odd, but that's why when I do draw, like on digitally, I use a big fat calligraphy pen, so that I'm not stuck trying to draw perfect fingers and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with oil painting. If you're oil painting, they always say use a brush a little bit bigger than what you think you need.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. It's just make me wonder how many disciplines require this kind of thinking, right? Because I think human beings want to go into the fine details so quick.
What did you get out of school, Algonquin? You were in the animation program.
Yeah. What I got out of school is practice.
Yeah.
And that's what I think does a lot for someone. We only had 2 years, eh? So by the end of the second year, I was decent. I was professionally viable. But it's nowhere near what the students are coming up with now with 3-4 years. I think Sheridan's 4 years now.
Yeah.
You're a pro by the end of 4 years. But that's because of practice. Like, what's a better opportunity for you to just sit there and draw?
Yeah.
You know, even in our world of animation and commercials and all that, you're not always drawing. Like, especially you're busy with, like, managing a team, going to meetings, and whereas school, you go in there and you draw.
Yeah.
Every day for hours.
Yeah, that's great.
So I think school does that primarily, and that's what I got, too. But there were amazing instructors at Algonquin. I'm pretty sure they're still there. Paul West being my favorite, he was an excellent instructor. He worked on Space Jam, some big stuff. Like, I think he worked on the typical stuff, like raccoons and Care Bears and all that.
Yeah.
But he had the grit and the knowledge to help me learn, you know? And you know this as well, but I tend to go on the realistic side for animation. It's hard to believe, right?
It's
only because of Paul West, who said, why don't you try stretching and squashing more and drag and follow through, exaggerate those things. And now because I do exaggerate them, I think it made me so much more better animator. And so it's remembering your principles, and that's what Paul West did for me.
It always goes back to the fundamentals and the basics, you know?
Yeah.
Master those and you're going to be a master,
period.
Yeah,
and it's funny how easily you forget the principles. I mean, it seems really lame, But whenever I help somebody learn, like I helped on The Prodigal, a bunch of people at a school, right? And I remind them of the principles, it sounds really lame. Hey, have you thought about stretch and wash here? And they're like, yeah, duh. But then not really. And so, and I've forgotten sometimes, like, why do I forget drag or arcs?
Yeah.
Arcs are so key. Yeah. Actually, I want to mention this. This is interesting. In commercials, you got to get stuff approved very, very swiftly, right? So I have two techniques that made me get things approved very, very swiftly. One is follow arcs. And I know it sounds dumb, but when you're just starting out, your arcs are jagged. You have to pay careful attention, especially in traditional animation. Really jagged movements on your arcs. Fix those, everything softens and gets fluid. It's pretty insane, the difference. I know it sounds so rudimentary,
right? Yeah, it does.
But no, like if you're 2 to 3 years in, you're forgetting the arcs and you're breaking them all the time.
Right.
It makes your animation really ugly.
Right.
And here's another thing is if you can do follow through and drag. For example, I always give the example of a pumpkin on the end of a fishing rod. That's every limb on the human body. Mm-hmm. There's this big weight that doesn't resist movement, right? So
right.
If everything is dragging,
right.
Then there's a little bit more realism there. And it sounds stupid just saying it like that. Of course not, Al. Like, what's wrong with your limbs? Are you moving around like this in life? But actually, just last week, I worked on a silhouette animation for the studio where the guy had animated a camel and an elk. He'd forgotten to drag on the hoofs, right, as they walked.
Yeah.
And so they had this strange stilted walk. And so easy for him to forget the drag. And as soon as you add drag and you follow arcs, your stuff gets approved.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing
that's
in a practical
true.
Animation.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we forget that we're in the business of motion. And what you're just describing are key points of movement.
Yeah.
Arc is movement.
And you think you have arcs. You think you do. This is detail, actually. It's the minutiae of finding that perfect arc. People are still learning their craft. They think they're there. And I think this is really in 3D, too. There's so much arc breaking. They're breaking it just slightly. Just slightly. It's usually passable. And actually, animation works. But it's not beautiful. That's the big difference. Yeah.
It's funny because I'm teaching my 14-year-old. And one of the key books I use is Preston Blair.
Yeah, it's actually.
And when you look at Preston Blair, the drag, the wave, the follow through, the arcs, it's clear as a bell.
Yeah.
It's almost so clear, it looks so simple that it's not even useful.
Yeah.
Right? It's easy to pass over Preston Blair and say, this guy, I don't really need to study. But what he's doing there is critical mass that every animator needs to understand.
I don't know if it's an arrogance, but what we do is we ignore the giant's shoulders that we're standing on, because Preston Blair and the Nine Old Men and all that, they're the ones that built animation for us. And if you ignore that, then everything crumbles. It's like physics. It's like you don't ignore Einstein, you don't ignore Newton,
right.
You know, and then you're gonna fumble, right? So it's the same with animation. You got to stand on these shoulders, and you can't ignore the giant below you, you know? I read Survival Guide for Animators twice over just to make sure I was not forgetting any of the rules in that.
Yeah.
That is a really good book.
It's an excellent book.
Yeah.
It takes Preston Blair. It's in its own steroids for for the modern day
thing. Yeah. So it's strange, but my tip for the starting animator is keep those books close by. You're going to forget every principle, every one of them. I don't know if it's arrogance. You're just like, I'm an animator now. Right. I don't need it.
And the thing is, where we're trying to get as animators is to put all that stuff in second nature so we're not thinking about
it.
Right? Because we're performers. We're actors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We need to be acting and building performances.
Yeah.
If we're thinking about all this other stuff, the physics of it all, the arcs, the principles, we can't act.
That's it. You're bogged down in that stuff, and it's you're not getting to the crux of the character, which is what's his personality?
What's
doing in this world?
Yeah. How's he thinking?
Yeah. Instead, you're worrying about this and that. But
so your first job sent your reel to Pascal Blais.
Yeah, I thought I was hired for doing backgrounds.
So you got a job right out of school.
I got a job right out of
school. No starving artist bit.
No, this guy, with this yellow blazer comes in. He's this really yellow charismatic. Blazer. Yeah, I don't know why I remember that. He's like a banana man into the open house, and he's looking at my portfolio, and he's very interested, and he gives me that job. And I thought it was backgrounds, because I had a lot of backgrounds. It's one of my strengths, right? And so I come into the studio. It's a different city. I'm like, oh boy, I got 3 months to prove myself. And then he hands me an animation scene with rotoprints in it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and
it's... And that's the big, heavy photographic paper.
Yes.
Live action printed on it in black and white, usually.
Pegged for you.
Pegged.
And they say, look at the ketchup bottle flying around in this black and white image. And attach a parrot to it. It was flying around.
An animated parrot.
Yeah.
An animated parrot.
I've got very little experience. I'm like, oh boy. So I was so nervous about that one that I finished that scene the same day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was just like, next. And I was just so desperate to prove myself, right?
You were born with speed.
Yeah. I guess it's my nervous nature. I don't know. Uh-huh.
Interesting.
I got to get it done quick.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a little slower nowadays, but it's okay.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So what were your highlights at Pascal Blay?
Wow. I think of all the commercials I really liked working on, Tony the Tiger was really cool. It's just that he had a lot of weight, and yeah. He has a very, very distinct personality, whereas a lot of them are just smiling around. Whereas Tony, I don't know, he's got these big arms, and he swings around, and he's athletic, and there's something different about him than the sneaker-wearing, skinny other guys, you know? So I really liked animating on him. It was more reminiscent of, like, a Disney cartoon, right? Yeah. It was a boot camp, Pascal.
Yeah.
It was the speed, it was the quality, it was agency, client, all the steps of approval. It was pretty harsh for a little 19-year-old, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it taught you something.
Yeah.
That kids aren't getting.
I wondered about that, too, because there's a blasé attitude in a lot of students that come out of school.
Yeah.
And I don't get that, because I was, again, my nervous nature, I don't know. But I was driven to keep this job, right? Mm-hmm. And I was driven to prove myself, to be good at the job. Whereas a lot of people, whatever. Nowadays,
yeah.
It's my old man, the old man creeping in for me, but.
Al and I will continue our conversation on our next podcast, where we'll talk about creativity, talent, and craftsmanship. For more about Schaefer Creative, you can find us on the web at schaefercreative.studio. Music is by Lee Rosevere.